Chapter 7 Aliens' Talents. It is wonderful what can you find out about a man just from his social media alone. Like, what food he likes, and how does he like it to be made. Then you can find out from food forums the right ingredients, and after checking his fridge, find that some are missing and need replacement. Then get the DoorDash to the door, just as long as you wear enough attire so to not distract the delivery boy with your attributes. And then just make the scent that coiled into George's bedroom was a siren's call. Rich, garlicky, and unmistakably meaty. Spaghetti. His stomach growled, a primal answer to a question he hadn't asked. Who? He bolted upright. The alien girl. Alien. Well, who else, of course? He found her in the kitchen, a vision of domestic surrealism. The sleek, lethal architecture of her body, still wearing the blue bikini, but now with an old apron he never used, was bent over his dented pot, a spoon held with improbable grace. Then he saw it. A cockroach scuttled across the counter. With a movement too fast to track, her fist came down. Twack! A tiny crisp sound of termination. Then her finger, slender and perfect, scooped the remains and brought them to her lips. A pink flash of tongue, a delicate swallow. Her head turned and a smile of radiant warmth erased the horror. Hey, you're awake. I just made this for you. His brain stuttered, trying to reconcile the beautiful chef with a casual entomophagy. He must be mistaken. Mustard. It had to be mustard.
Well, that's my favorite. How do you know?
Well, she purred, stirring the sauce with a hypnotic rhythm.
It is popular food on my planet.
She presented a single plate, holding it with her bare hand. It was a masterpiece. The spaghetti was coiled in a perfect, steaming nest, draped in a glossy red sauce that clung to each strand. Juicy slices of sausage peeked through, and a generous snowfall of Parmesan cheese melted over everything. Even the ketchup dollop on the side was his brand.
Wait, miss, alien? Just alien, please.
Aren't you gonna eat?
I already ate,
she said, her voice a low, satisfied hum. The image of her licking her finger flashed in his mind, but it was drowned out by her beauty, by the aroma, by the sheer impossible care she had taken. He reached for the fork, his hand moving toward the tantalizing heat. Her reaction was instantaneous. Don't! Her hand shot out, not to slap, but to envelop. Her fingers wrapped around his wrist, soft as silk, but firm as steel, holding him an inch from the plate. Her touch was electric, a jolt that raced straight up his arm.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? Her mismatched eyes were white pools of genuine terror. It's too hot! You can burn yourself on my account! Her grip tightened, a possessive, bleeding pressure. Her voice dropped to a frantic, intimate whisper.
I would never forgive myself if any harm bestows on you. Never.
He could feel the frantic beat of his own pulse under her fingers. Her concern was a palpable force, a smothering warm blanket. Then he realized she was holding this whole plate with her bare fingers. Clearly, she either didn't feel the heat herself or didn't care. "Okay," he breathed, mesmerized by both her immunity to heat and the feel of her skin on his. "So, when will it be ready?" She leaned closer, her scent of ozone and warm sauce filling the space between them. Her gaze held his, the blue eye deep and pleading, the red a pulsing warning. "Wait 14 minutes." The food was magnificent, exactly how he loved it. And after waiting the precise 14 minutes, the temperature was perfect. He took a hearty bite. Across from him, Alien watched. Her face was a serene mask, but her lips were slightly parted. The tip of her tongue, a wet pink promise, slid slowly across the plush curve of her upper lip. It was a gesture of such unconscious, primal anticipation that George's breath hitched. A single strand of pasta caught in his throat. He coughed, a strangled gulp. The world blurred. In a flash of impossible speed, she was behind him, her arms wrapped around his torso, pulling him tight against her as she performed the Heimlich. Her panic was a live wire. "Careful, George Fields. People die from that, you know," she whispered, her voice raw with a fear that felt too vast for the moment. "I'm all right," he managed, the obstruction gone. And then a new awareness dawned, cutting through the confusion. Her breasts were pressed firmly against his back. The soft yet unyielding weight of them molded to the contours of his spine through the thin fabrics of his t-shirt, her apron, and her top. A delicious, living heat seeped into him, and he could feel the frantic, rhythmic thud of her heart against his shoulder blades. The response in his body was immediate, a jolt of pure electricity. His dick stirred, then hardened instantly, a thick, aching pulse of blood that made him gasp. A sharp, ragged inhale hissed past his ear. He felt it then, a fine, excited tremor that ran through her entire frame, a vibration that passed from her body into his. Her hands, which had been locked in a life-saving grip, began to change their purpose. Their hold loosened, melting from a grip into a caress. Her palms were a brand of heat as they slid down his chest, mapping the frantic drum of his heart. They smoothed over the quivering tension of his stomach, her thumbs etching slow, deliberate circles into his flesh that promised a destination further south. His every nerve ending fired in a sequence, a chain reaction leading to the aching heart pulse of his erection, a magnetic north pulling her touch downward. The touch was no longer a whisper, it was a vow of release spoken in a language of skin. He held his breath, his universe collapsed to the scorching path of her hands, a millimeter from where he needed them most. The stop was not gentle. It was a rupture. A violent full-body shudder seized her, so potent he felt it echo in his own bones. It was the shiver of a star going critical. Her fingers dug into his hips for one final desperate second. Whether to push him away or to pull him closer, he would never know, before she physically wrenched herself back. The separation was a visceral tear. The apartment's cold air rushing into the space she vacated, feeling like a profanity. The ghost of her heat lingered on his back, a perfect aching silhouette of everything that was almost, but not quite his. He didn't see the agony on her face. Stopping herself from going overboard was the hardest thing she ever done. Her voice, when it came, was strained, husky, with a war between duty and desire.
I'm sorry, George Fields.
George, he breathed, his own voice thick. Just George, please.
I'm sorry, George.
She said his name, a sacred, tortured syllable on her lips.
But you really do need to be careful.
The door clicked shut behind George, and a performative warmth drained from Alien's face. The effort of maintaining the wide-eyed alien bimbo persona was exhausting. Yet, the more she learned of George Fields, the more her initial assessment solidified into certainty. He was perfect. A pristine, untapped well of compassionate, horny, virginal humanity. Last night, when she pinned him to the wall, that had been an impulsive deviation from the protocol. A tiny, almost imperceptible application of pressure. A mere 0.001% of her capacity. And, oh, the glorious results. The way his entire nervous system had short-circuited. The pure, unadulterated feedback of his release. It was intoxicating. It was in that moment she knew. She threw a dice and got a billion with him. Not a mere 7, a whole impossible billion. Fate cannot be kinder. A shiver of anticipation ran through her. If that was the yield from a fraction of a percent, what symphony of sensory overload could she conduct if she unleashed the full 100%? What would be a complete terminal euphoria feel like? No! The thought was a command, an internal scream that echoed through her being. It's too dangerous. He's too fragile. He doesn't even have any synthetic implants. A cold dread washed over her, followed by a memory she kept locked away. The evidence was still in her ship, a grim reminder of what happened when the line between duty and indulgence blurred. That would not happen again. Not with anybody. And especially not with George. She would deceive. She would lie. She would play this simplistic role perfectly to keep him safe, to keep him under control. Agony! It lanced up her arm from her hand, a sensation as if the flesh were being dissolved in molecular acid. Before she could even gasp, a second wave hit, a searing, pulling torment in her left foot. The precise and hideous feeling of a big toenail being slowly, deliberately torn from its bed. She crumpled, a silent scream caught in her throat. This was no malfunction. It was a warning, a direct, painful reprimand for her hesitation. The Space Bimbo Act was clearly insufficient. The parameters had changed. George Fields didn't need cuddling. He needed direction. He needed a guide. And as the pain receded, leaving a throbbing echo in its wake, Alien knew exactly what she had to do. The foreplay was over. It's time to get real. George's shift at Big Buns felt like a moving through a fog. The restaurant's gimmick, a desperate attempt to be like Hooters but with a confusing focus on pastries and dairies, usually filled him with a low-grade anxiety. Today, it just seemed pathetic. Even Joanne, the object of his years-long financially draining crush, seemed to have dimmed. She looked perfect as always in her tight uniform. But compared to the impossible, otherworldly perfection currently occupying his apartment, Joanne seemed mousy, faded. His thoughts kept circling back to her. Alien. A warmth spread through his chest that had nothing to do with the grills. It was an incredible affection, something that went far beyond the physical, though God, the memory of what happened when she pinned him to the wall was nothing short of magnificent. He knew on some level that something was deeply off. There was a feeling that she was jerking his chain. Oh, but there's so much more she could jerk. He shook his head, physically trying to dislodge the thought. No, stop it. Despite the weirdness, her care for him felt real. That over-the-top, terrifying protectiveness was a paradox. It was both deeply scary and inexplicably arousing. His distraction was costly. While cleaning the giant grill, his hand slipped. A glob of searing hot fat leapt up and landed on his knuckle. Ah, son of a... The pain was instant and vicious, a white-hot brand on his skin. He stumbled back, clutching his hand, and bolted for the washing station. In his frantic haste, his foot, the left one with the ingrown toenail he'd been nursing for a week, slammed directly into a low cardboard box full of frozen burger patties. A second, sharper agony exploded in his foot, so intense it made him see stars. It was a deep, throbbing, wrong kind of pain. Damn it, he hissed, hopping on one foot, cradling his burnt hand, a perfect portrait of clumsy misery. This was shaping to be a truly painful day.